others. The scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 61. The sermon title is The Rock of Our Salvation, and it is my desire that we be reminded that when times are uncertain, as they certainly are now, that there is always one to whom we go for help and for hope, and he is the one that in his word presents himself as our rock. And so let's listen as I read Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of birth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. This will be the first of, I have no idea how many messages and worship services that we will be conducting in the way that we're doing it remotely. I pray that that will be not too long in the future, so that we all can come again together as the people of God and worship him, not only because that's what we desire to do, but also that there's a concurrence with our leaders of the nations of the earth as well, that they will allow us to do that. There are times when we have to respect the edicts of the state as good citizens, and we view that this is one of those times. But much has happened in the past 2 weeks or more. This really started in China back, I don't know exactly when, but late December or early January. We are confronted with sobering statistics, and the word that comes to mind is Italy, but also hopeful signs. And believe it or not, the word that comes to me there is China, where more and more we're hearing that things are improving there following the initial dealing with the coronavirus. We are dealing with, whether it's on your television sets, on the 24-hour news channels, whether it's on the Internet and other ways, we're dealing with lots of information and statistics. We're dealing often with wrong information, but also at times with misinformation, which causes panic and fear and dread. It's certainly a time where there's much indecision. I am at my company, RFI, still going to work each day, and we'll continue to do that, Lord willing, this week. We understand that ours would be one of those companies should Colorado shut down many of the companies, that we would not be included in that number. We even have a letter from a company that all of you may know, a big beverage company. I will just say about it that either that has cans that are blue or cans that are red, who have actually given us a letter saying that we are indispensable to providing them with materials. And so we will be going to work as long as the Lord gives opportunity. We are doing everything we can to keep people safe there. We are monitoring people if they show signs of sickness or are staying home. And we're just praying that the Lord will continue to enable us to do that, and enable many to do that, because there's certainly going to be needs if that more and more people are not able to work. But what we find is every day there, it's indecisive. You know, should somebody be allowed to come back to work who is out sick or not? And we've introduced protocols and things to handle that. And yet, we've concluded that no matter what decision we make, we're never sure that it's going to necessarily be the right one. There's a certain amount of resignation that in that kind of a situation where we just have to go as the Lord leads us and trust in Him. We live by faith, and that's important, and we want to continue to do that, and I encourage all of us to live by faith, but we also need to also be wise as well and not let our faith, as I tend to do, I tend to be on the side that sometimes goes over into the foolishness end of the spectrum. But so I'm one that's being reined in a little bit by the events of recent days. We are dealing with debate and disagreements within governments and within the medical community, but we also have that within the churches as well. And I think each of us look at the current events that are before us through individualized lenses. And as a result, we see things somewhat differently. And I just want, as pastor of our congregation, to encourage you to understand that and to be kind and generous toward one another and respect another's opinions where we need to do so. So moving on to the heart of today's message, and we will not be spending too much time on these things. But as Christians, we ought to count on, and His name is the Lord, and present in the outline on the bulletin, who you may or may not have, that the testimony of two major saints. One is Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and a passage of scripture that is called the Song of Moses. The other is called David's Psalm, or the Psalm of David in 2 Samuel 22. Which is also a word-by-word copying of Psalm 18. And in Deuteronomy 32, in the Song of Moses, one of the, he begins it in verse 4, talking about the Lord as being our rock and His rock. He introduces Him later on in that chapter in the 15th verse as the rock of salvation. In verse 18, He is the one who begot us, formed us in our mother's womb, and gave us birth, and goes on to talk about the fact that when it comes down to rocks, the other nations of the earth may sometimes ridicule the idea that the people of God have a rock with the Lord, but indeed He is there, and He is unique, and there's nobody that is quite like Him. In 2 Samuel 22, David, again, introduces God as his rock, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge in verse 3. And I've also put the Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 are off by one verse in terms of these things. And David gives to us also, for who is a rock besides our God? And what we need to remember is there's nobody quite like Him. And He is, again, the rock of our salvation. Both Moses and David testify that if you're in trouble, and ultimately it's talking about faith and the ultimate salvation that we have in Christ to be children of God, but in any time of distress, that remains true as well, that we have one that we can call on that will never fail us nor forsake us. And so what does it mean for us that our God is a rock, that He is our rock? And three things I thought about rocks for a while. I live in Colorado, as most of us do, and I know Dick Muller has been on, and Dick, we are glad that you are with us and have this opportunity. I think there are mountains out there as well where Dick is, but three things about rocks that these verses and these passages that are strewn throughout the outline that you have, and this is for you to look at later, is the first thing is that God is a rock. He is solid. He's a solid rock. He is one that we can stand upon, that one that we can rest upon, one that we can lean upon in Psalm 40 and the stanzas that we read just a little bit in verse 2. He is the one who has brought us out of the miry out of the pit and out of the miry clay, and he has set us upon a rock. In other words, we no longer are bogged down up to our knees as we might be in a swamp or in a bog or in mud or other things, but rather he has picked us out of that, speaking of our sin, and he's put us on his way, on his path, which happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And he has guided our ways and made our feet sure. And Psalm 40 talks about that. Secondly, the idea of being a rock is that God is dependable. He is the one that we can rely upon, trust in, and count on. Who better in times of trouble, in times like this, than our God to lean on? He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that created the viruses and the microbes and all of these other things that the scriptures often call sickness or pestilence or other such things. He has been free throughout history. We think of the plagues of Egypt and of other times to bring things like this upon his world, oftentimes in judgment, but also oftentimes to direct those that turn their backs on him to come to him and to put their faith and trust in him, in Christ. And that when you do that, then the way that God deals with us is changed radically, because we're now his children. And I know right now one of the biggest concerns of any of us who are parents at this time is the protection of our children and the care of our children. And that even when they're at home underfoot now instead of at school and other things for a while. But who better to go to the Lord? He is totally dependable, totally reliable, and can always be counted on. He will never, ever, the scripture says, fail us nor forsake us. And then thirdly, when it comes to the idea of our God as a rock, is that he is foundational. In other words, he is the one that we need to build our lives and our homes and our families upon if we are to endure. And I've just put some subpoints in the outline. At the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we have that passage which Elder McDaniel read earlier about we all have a choice to build our homes upon the rock or upon the sand. And we're dealing with the winds and the rain that talks about now in a very unique way in my lifetime as we deal with COVID-19. And it's only as we put our trust in the Lord that we will endure and will stand. And so we are beacons of hope and need to be for a needy world that's struggling with these things. And so our willingness to do what is right, our willingness to look out and be concerned about others, our lack of panic replaced by confidence and trust in the Lord will set us apart and oftentimes and give us an opportunity to share our faith with others. Secondly, I think of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 when he's up there in that big rocky place called Caesarea Philippi, where there was significant rock formations, where Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And it leads to that declaration of Peter that was unique at that point. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And up to that point, the Jews understood that the Christ was the Son of David. And yet, as we know, the Old Testament teaches us, he is also the Son of God. And when we come to understand that Jesus has those two fathers, David and Almighty God himself, that we understand who he is and give him the glory. And it's based on that testimony. And it is that testimony of Peter about Jesus, where Jesus uses the two different rock words, the little rock in the name of Peter, but the larger rock, the Petra, speaking about himself as the Son of Man. And then we are reminded, thinking rock-wise in the New Testament as well, that Jesus is a different kind of rock as well. He is a cornerstone. He is the foundation stone for his church, Old Testament and New, and there are verses there that we can look at. He quoted in Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 17, from Psalm 118, verse 22, that stone which the builders rejected became the head cornerstone. And anybody, as Peter tells us, who puts their faith in Jesus, the cornerstone, that corner rock that gives meaning and alignment and direction to our lives, will never be disappointed. So in closing, just some points for you to think about and pray about, and I encourage you to do that. And the first of those is that, do you understand the settings of Deuteronomy 32 and 2 Samuel 22, the testimonies of Moses and David? Along with Abraham, probably Moses and David, I would say, are two of the three greatest saints of the Old Testament era. And both of them are now nearing the ends of their lives when they put these things down for us to profit from it. They are aged men at this point. They know that they're facing death and that it won't be long before they go to be with the Lord. And they give these testimonies about God, that he is the rock of our salvation. Secondly, if you look at the outline, if you have an opportunity, just so many different references to the Psalms. And we take the Psalms very seriously in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. But it's times like this that the Psalms have been given by God to minister to us. And I just encourage all of us to read them, to sing them, to learn from them, to love them. And now as we deal with these difficult times, to live them before the world around us. And I wanted just to summarize the message of the Psalter when it comes to these things, and God is our rock. I just wanted to read the first three verses of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And it's interesting to me that if we think of rocks as being one of the most stable things, I'm not a big earthquake fan. I like terra firma. But this says that even if the rocks as we know them were to be cast down into the sea, there is one rock who never will be, and that is God himself. And the first verse reminds us that he's always with us in times of trouble, and that's to help us. Thirdly, Jesus is the living stone, and in him, Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2, we are living stones as well, and even more than that, if you move on to the verses up from verse 6 on, 7, 8, and 9, we are God's special people. We have the priesthood of believers. We are a holy nation. And at this point, God is going to take care of us. He is concerned about us. And as Peter later on in that epistle says in chapter 5, verse 7, that our God is a God who cares for us. And I just encourage you in the name of Christ to understand that, and then to follow what Peter says in chapter 5, verse 7, when he says, because he cares for you, you are to cast all your anxieties upon him. Hear Jesus, let not your hearts be troubled, but put our faith and all of our concerns and worries into the hand of God, knowing that he is our rock and we can always count on him. Fourthly, times of trial such as this, and we are all sharing the same trial when it comes to the coronavirus, is an opportunity for each of us to check our foundations. When our lives are being shaken, we need to look to the foundation. After an earthquake, what do? They go out to check to make sure that the homes in which they live are still sturdy and firmly on the foundation and not cracking. And so I would just remind each of us who we are in Christ and ask, is your house truly built on the rock? And is your life at this time reflecting that? And I would just say, as we might do if it's something in the foundation of our homes were to begin to have trouble, we would shore it up and we would get it fixed. So there's no better time in a spiritual sense to fix that if we need to than today as we face this really invisible threat to us. Fifthly, I have heard of this idea of social distancing, that which is what we've been called to do, and hopefully, statistically, as time goes on, hopefully it will have borne fruit as we've tried to not put ourselves in places where we can be infected by others or in turn can infect others. But do not let social distancing distance any of us from spiritual service. This is a time when we're at home most of the time and maybe even more in days ahead, and it would be easy to simply close the doors and shut the windows and do nothing but be concerned about ourselves, but that's not what we're called to do. So what can you do? What can we do together? Who can we help? Think about ways to do that. You can do a lot by phone and in other ways. As I said, I'm going to be allowed to work even if they shut the state down, and I've gotten into a fairly regular habit that I'm stopping at a King Supers and a Walmart on my way home from work, and I am happy if you need something but are fearful to go out, you just text me, tell me what you need, and I'll say, if I can find it, it's yours, and I would be happy to bring it to you, and I'll even stay out at the curb and set it there. So, but we need to think about how can the Lord use us even when we are distanced from one another and from the world around us. And certainly we can pray. Certainly we can get on the phone and we can encourage one another. We can worship together. And we hope we do a whole lot better job by next Lord's Day and the way that we are able to accomplish that than perhaps we've done today, although I hope that it's worked out all right. And I just remind us again of Psalm 61, which we would be singing at this point at the end of our service. But I would just like to close our service by reading from verse 2. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ.